Good morning. It's Marilyn Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. If you're observing Yom Kippur today, have an easy fast. And if you'll be celebrating Eid al-Adha tomorrow, Eid Mubarak. Now we're going to discuss superconducting magnetic levitation, commonly called maglev. This is the technology that might move you from downtown Baltimore to BWI in 5 minutes and on to downtown Washington in another 10 minutes on trains that move faster than 300 miles an hour, not with wheels rolling on steel tracks, but cars that would float or levitate inside concrete pathways. If it sounds like science fiction, maybe that's part of its appeal. When the Northeast Maglev Project threw itself a party this week to celebrate opening its Baltimore office, city and state leaders seemed almost starry-eyed in their support. Under Armour CEO Kevin Plank, who's on the project's advisory board, said, "I love big. I love blowing people's minds. Let's build this thing." But as futuristic as it seems, maglev has been trying to get started in Maryland for more than a couple decades. A previous proposal hit legislative snags a dozen years ago, and there's always been a big price tag. Now it's estimated building the first leg of a Northeast system, that line from Baltimore to D.C., would cost $12 billion. We want to get a better idea of what momentum the project has this time around and what questions Marylanders should be asking. So we've asked Wayne Rogers, CEO of the Northeast Maglev Project, to join us. He's on the line from Annapolis. Good morning.
Morning, Sheila.
And with me in the studio is Brian O'Malley, president of the Central Maryland Transportation Alliance. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks a lot. Glad to be here.
So, Wayne Rogers, why are you convinced this very expensive project is the right investment for people in this region?
You look at the Baltimore area, and we're really drowning in congestion. I mean, all the way through the Northeast Corridor, things are getting worse and worse. In the last 10 or 15 years, we've seen traffic go up by 40 or 50%. Our infrastructure is lagging, and the airports are overcrowded. 70% of all air traffic delays in the United States come out of the Northeast Corridor. Six of the 10 worst airports in terms of congestion are in our corridor. The rail system is overcrowded. We need a new solution, and it's not what we've done in the past. We have to look forward and look elsewhere to see what other people have done.
Brian O'Malley, it sounds great. There's a lot of buzz around it. Why are you skeptical?
Well, let me be clear that the Transportation Alliance is not opposed to or in favor of maglev. We're technology neutral. Maglev is a technology, and it could be the solution depending on what our goals are. But what we need to have is a plan. And there's a huge projected increase in demand for travel on the Northeast Corridor. Everything from commuters using commuter trains and other ways to get to and from jobs, to families and people traveling for personal reasons, to business travelers. And we need to make sure that we're meeting all of that demand. And I should add freight as well. So maglev could be part of the solution, but we need to make sure we're asking the right questions and that whatever technology we choose is the most effective way to achieve our goals.
Well, when you talk that way about looking at lots of technologies, then, Wayne Rogers, that pulls me back into thinking about the expense of this approach. I understand about half the money to build the Baltimore-Washington route is expected to come from Japan's government, which is interested in spreading the maglev technology that it has developed. Where would the other $5 or $6 billion come from just for this first leg of the project?
The other $5 or $6 billion is going to come from federal government and private investment. And really, we have to look back to what Brian just said and said, we have all of these users in the Northeast Corridor, and that's really part of the problem. We have a single rail line that is not straight, so it isn't something that you could put a high-speed passenger rail line on. We're using roughly 9 passenger railroads and 4 freight railroads, all using the same tracks that are woefully outdated. And so the only way we're going to move lots of passengers is to build a new railway line. And if we look at that, and we looked at it, we're building a computer or buying a computer or a new phone, no one's going out today and say, I would like an iPhone 1. You know, I would like an iPhone 6. And so if you look at it now, why don't we have Acela trains every 10 minutes? If we look back at the, and the reason is because there's no room on the rails. So I could have a Ferrari on the Beltway, but it doesn't help me in the morning.
Right.
If I look back and see what's happening in Japan, Japan Central Railroad moves 150 million people on high-speed trains that they've had for 50 years. And they have a train every 4 minutes, trains going over 200 miles an hour. Average delay in a year is 30 seconds for 150 million people. At the same time, have never had a fatality. I mean, that's the kind of transportation we need in America, not delays, overcrowded, and ancient infrastructure.
Brian O'Malley?
I think that the Federal Railroad Administration is also studying a second track for a high-speed rail technology that would be different from maglev. They're also studying improvements to take out some of the bottlenecks on the existing track, and we should be weighing the costs and benefits of those options, including maglev, and getting behind the one or the combination that will best meet our needs. It's terrific that there's an opportunity to leverage investment from Japan or other private sector investment or federal dollars here, and that should be factored in. But I'd like to see them competing on the same playing field to make sure we're getting the best deal for Marylanders.
That's Brian O'Malley of the Central Maryland Transportation Alliance here on Maryland Morning, WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, talking to Wayne Rogers, CEO of the Northeast Maglev, or TNEM. And we're talking about prospects for maglev between Baltimore and Washington, D.C. So, Wayne Rogers, what kind of fares would need to be solved? Fares would need to be charged to pay off this kind of investment?
We think it'll depend on the final alignments of the railroad, but we think it's going to be equal to, I mean, if we have a D.C. to New York service, that would be equal to what you'd be paying, you know, in the time frame for an airline ticket, or equal to what we'd be paying on a high-end Amtrak fare. And we have to really keep this in perspective, too, because when we talk about the Northeast Corridor, you know, we have over a $2 trillion economy, 40 million people or so would be living in the corridor, an economy equal to the United Kingdom. So if I had an old car and said, I need a new car, yes, you could look at putting a new engine in it, but it's never gonna provide you what you need. If we make these incremental improvements on the existing rail, we'll never get the rail system above 150 miles an hour. And at the same time, we still have freight rail that's using the same system. So our proposal is to put a new line that's going to be passenger only, and you'll be able to travel at 300 miles an hour. We'd be able to move people every 4 or 5 minutes. You'd be able to land in BWI Airport and be in D.C. in 8 minutes. I mean, what does that mean to the economy? For a Baltimore business, Baltimore City businesses would have access to 800,000 more workers around Baltimore. And if we was a Baltimore City resident and said, I'll do a 60-minute commute, you'd have access to 4.2 million more jobs within an hour.
But let me put two things you just said together. If you talk about fares at the level of high-end Amtrak fares, or you even mentioned competitive with airplane fares, you're not talking about fares for commuters to jobs. Most people, unless they're going to a very high-paying job, can't afford that.
Well, it all depends on how it's addressed. I mean, right now, if you compare it with the MARC train recovers about less than a third of its cost. So when
50%.
We say, I beg your pardon?
The MARC train Fairbox recovery is about 50%.
Okay, that wasn't my understanding, but it's subject to check. But even if we say 50%, and I think it's less, it's not really fair to say, okay, we're going to take a subsidized service by the state and compare that with an unsubsidized service.
We have just a couple minutes left, and I want to raise something that I think may be on some listeners' minds. As I understand it, Wayne Rogers, much of the distance between Baltimore and Washington for this would be underground. That's part of how you solve problems with community resistance to the high speed, et cetera. We just saw the state kill the Red Line light rail project partly, largely on the grounds that the tunnel it would have required would have been, the governor said, unfeasibly expensive. Explain to me then why it would make sense to do this kind of miles of long tunneling for this project.
Well, the Baltimore BWI Washington leg is really the first leg of a train that's going to connect the Northeast Quarter. So when we look at the Red Line and look at the maglev train, they're really not comparable. It's a local transit system with something that's really going to allow us to bring the entire metropolis from New York to Washington closer together. So we'd be able to live wherever we want, work wherever we want, and travel at very high speeds.
We have just a minute left, Brian. You want to make a last point?
Yeah, the Transportation Alliance thinks maglev could be part of the solution, but our focus is getting people to jobs. And so having a commuter rail system like MARC that works is a key part of that. Having a bus system that works is a key part of that. And I have to say that I've been hearing from a lot of people who are angry about the discussion of maglev, not because they're opposed to maglev per se, but because they don't feel like we're addressing the other needs. And seeing the red line cut, seeing funding for the bus system reduced is part of that frustration with people. So we need a plan that really identifies what are the goals, what are the needs, and getting people to jobs is a key part of that. It could be transformative for economic development to have this business travel option, but I don't think it replaces or substitutes for the job of the transportation system to get people to work.
We are flat out of time, and obviously there's a lot more to talk about. I am grateful to both of you for walking us through at least this much of it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Wayne Rogers is CEO of the Northeast Maglev. Brian O'Malley is president of the Central Maryland Transportation Alliance. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. Ahead, transformative schools. Stay with us on 88.1. Thank you.